This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hello, this is Nath Belvo.
And I'm Reece Nicholson.
You know what, Reece? I love being spit-roasted by two men in the Joy studio, don't you?
Same. I like watching too.
And out of all the people here at Joy that like to spit-roast me and Reece at the same time, there's only two that we come back to year after year.
Do you mean Dean and Andrew?
Right, okay. Yeah, I didn't know. There's a few of them.
No, Dean and Andrew. Hide and seek.
Joy, 94.9. I totally forgot what the frequency was. I was like, 94.9. Try that again. Sorry.
G'day, everybody. This is Nath Belvo.
Here with the Naked Ninja and Dean Beck on Hide and Seek. It is your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. And last night I was at the Burnett Institute. Have you ever been there, Mr. Burnett?
No, actually, I don't think I have.
You haven't been to the Burnett Institute and it's your name? But that's okay because I was there and I can tell you all about it. It's a wonderful research centre, cutting edge, world renowned. They're working on a few things, a few minor things, like finding a cure for HIV. And last night they were basically trying to sweet talk people out of their money. But they were doing it in a nice way. I mean, they gave you wine and nibbly bits and stuff.
You know? How much did you give over?
Oh, no. I was there reporting. You know, I was there professionally. But I can see through all of that cloudy haze and I know what they're on about. They're trying to, you know, when I knock off the twig and leave my millions, they want me to leave it to them, you see.
Yes.
And so I had to set them straight on that front. And
because it's going to this Burnett, not that
correct.
Burnett.
Correct.
Right?
Yes. No. Well, don't hold your breath. Hey, you were supposed to be tonight, speaking of institutions, you were supposed to be at rugby training, were you not?
I was, yes, but it was cancelled.
Hi, this is Sam from the Melbourne Chargers, and you're listening to Hide and Seek with Dean and Andrew on Joy 94.9.
Well, Sam Cupcake Minter apparently can't cope with the cold. Tell us why, Craig.
Because the rain makes rugby play shrink, and we don't want shrinkage with the Chargers.
I can't believe that. Too cold, too wet, don't want shrinkage, not training. Anyway, last night I was at Burnett Institute. John is a lovely guy. He grew up in the United States. He is one of the Living Positive Victoria's Positive Speakers Bureau speakers. And he spoke last night. I did that earlier, didn't I? Anyway, John gave a great little talk and I'd like to share that with you now.
I guess I'll start just by talking about HIV. I've been HIV positive for 7 years. Let's see, 8 months, 17 days, and about 12 hours. It's strange the things that stick out in your mind. But my knowledge of HIV began long before that. It began when I was about 4 years old, and I remember watching the news and seeing a story about HIV, about AIDS, and this was about 1987, and I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't understand what it meant. My mother took me aside and she said, I'm going to tell you a story about a little boy named Ben Euler. He was born 2 weeks before you. And he died a year later because he got a blood transfusion and it had AIDS in it, had HIV in it. Terminology wasn't great then. And he died. I couldn't process it. I didn't quite understand it at the time. But it put in my mind something that just stuck with me. Every time I heard about HIV on the news, when people would just talk about it on the street, it was something that I wanted to hear about, I wanted to learn about. But somehow, when I got to the age of 19, I came out as gay. It was occupying a very different sphere because I'd grown up in a Mormon family, a very conservative religious family, that for all their love and their good values, there was a dichotomy because there was that love, but there was also church 3 hours every Sunday telling you that every gay person, even though God loves them, is going to hell. And I knew from a very early age that I was gay. And so growing up with that feeling of self-loathing, that feeling of self-hatred, a feeling like you don't matter, permeated everything I did from then on out. That was compounded with abuse that happened earlier in my childhood. It was compounded by being a little fat kid and being teased by everybody at school. So by the time I came out, I didn't feel very good about myself. And I don't say that for pity, I just say that as a fact. So I also didn't have the tools. So even though I knew about HIV, I didn't have the tools to really face the world. And feeling like you don't matter leads you to make choices as if you don't matter. And I did that. All of a sudden I went from being Mormon and sex is bad to I'm living on my own and I'm gay. I can do whatever the hell I want. And I did whatever the hell I want and whoever the hell I wanted, to be quite frank. but I realized, I knew it then, I don't think I had the words for it then, but I knew it, that it wasn't because I was looking for some fun, I wasn't looking to have a good time, I was looking to feel validated, I was looking to feel like I mattered. But I was finding them in the exact wrong places. When I was 22 years old, I met a guy who I thought I fell in love with. I think I did fall in love with him. Everything you look for in a guy, just muscles and masculine and all that ridiculousness. But there was a connection. We did love each other. And I loved him so deeply that I blinded myself to all the flaws, to all the things that were going wrong, the things that I could see in the back of my mind, but things that I didn't want to acknowledge were there. Things like drug addiction, things like the compromises I was making to my own values, the few values that I had, just because I felt this is the only love I'm ever going to have in my life. I had pushed everybody away in my life. I had pushed away my family when they tried to help me. I'd pushed away friends when they tried to be a part of my life. So I didn't want to push this one away. So January 4th, 2006, at 6:30 in the morning, when he woke me up and said, I just went and got tested for HIV and it came back positive. You need to go get tested too. My only response was to push everyone away. I pushed him away, which was good in the end. But it was also strange because the world didn't fall out from under me. It wasn't like the world was over, my life was over. I actually used it as an opportunity to change things, to realize that there were some behaviors I had engaged in that were not helpful for anything. Got a very good job, started taking uni seriously. And I did well for a while. All these outward signs, all the things that we look at people in the world and say, that person's doing well, by all accounts, I was doing well. But on the inside, there was still something wrong. There was still that sense that I don't matter. And I thought about it a lot. I thought about, what does it mean that I have HIV now? What does this mean for the rest of my life? I had some context because when I was diagnosed, when I went and saw my doctor, he travels around, he does quite a lot of work. He had just got back from a trip to Ukraine for 2 weeks, where in his first week, 10 patients had died because of lack of access to medication and proper treatment. So when he slammed his folder shut and said, you're going to die an old man, and it's going to be from something other than this, that gave me some hope, that gave me some perspective, but there was still just something fundamentally not working, for lack of a better term. But then I started, Deanna, you said, it wasn't a quote, it wasn't anything like that. I started collecting that, I started looking for knowledge, I started reading all the books I could read to try and understand what this thing was. So it was things like In the Band Played On, Angels in America, to try and really make a connection to this heritage, not only as a gay man, but as somebody with HIV, to see what that really meant. And I started understanding what it really meant to be a part of that community, to, as much as it hurts, as scary as it is, to be vulnerable to people and let them in, to let them help you, to let them validate the fact that you're alive. It was strange. And it took a while. It continues to take a while. I can't say it was an epiphany necessarily, but it was a first step in a process that continues every day of trying to recover that sense of self, trying to cover that sense of worth. And I can say that since coming to Australia, it's only gotten better. It's only gotten faster because I see there are places like Victorian AIDS, Living Positive, like Burnett, that care. About little old me who made such dipshit choices when I was a kid. They care. And they want to make a difference, not only to me, who has it relatively good in the world compared to these kids in Ukraine and Southeast Asia, but it's the words that I take, those words that I found. There's a band called The Killers, and I'm going to share tattoos that I had to get. And my father rolls his eyes, and my mother, I don't know what she thinks. But this one reminds me of what it means. It says, "And well, you know it hurts sometimes. You know it's going to bleed sometimes." And to me, what that means is life is hard. Life is difficult, and there are challenges in life. But it's part of life. That's what makes life worth living. So that's what HIV has become. It's become slowly just something. This is a challenge that I was given. I made bad choices then, but I'm making good choices now. I have a partner who loves me, and I love him. There are so many good things for me. And then there's so much hope that I see whenever I hear about, you know, maybe there's a cure, maybe there's a vaccine, maybe there's a new treatment. When I see people participating, people really paying attention, and talking to schools and seeing 15-year-old kids intrigued about, like, epidemiology and virology. The hell are you coming from? But I guess, well, the point of mine is I feel so grateful now. I feel grateful for the opportunity to see that there are people that care, people that realize, even though it's something that's improved over about 32 years, that it is still something that affects people, that haven't given up on that fight, that haven't given up on that struggle. And so even though you've never met me, I want to thank each and every one of you personally, because knowing that there are people in the world, knowing there are people that care, means the world to me. I'll leave it at that, but thank you.
That was John Manwaring, who is part of Living Positive Victoria's Positive Speakers Bureau, speaking last night at the Burnett Institute. Brave man.
Very brave.
Thank you for that, John. Thank you for listening, listeners. Coming up very shortly, we will be speaking to our compassionate counsellor, Stu Fenton, and we're going to be talking about an interesting subject, hedonism and the secret of happiness.
What's your secret to happiness, Dean?
Hedonism. You're listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.